This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct. I am Don LaGreca. Congratulations to the St. Louis Blues.
And the St. Louis Blues, for the first time in 49 years, have done it. You can bring out the Zamboni. The Blues will go to the Stanley Cup Final and face off against the Boston Bruins. A rematch, 49 years in the making, comes true in St. Louis tonight.
Unbelievable atmosphere last night in St. Louis. Chris Kerber with the call on KMLX in St. Louis. As the Blues do it for the first time since 1970, they go to the Stanley Cup Final. And before we dive into the Blues and what they accomplished, congratulations to the San Jose Sharks as well. They had a heck of a season. I think they rode a roller coaster, if you think about it, throughout these playoffs, right? Where they go to the in the beginning of the regular season after the acquisition of Erik Karlsson. This is going to be the team to beat. They're going to win the Stanley Cup. They have an up-and-down season. You love them, you hate them, you love them, you hate them. You go into the playoffs as maybe one of the worst teams in the league. And then they overcome a 3-1 deficit to Vegas. They win Game 7 to beat a game Colorado team. And they just ran out of gas. And when I go back to the beginning of this series and I predicted St. Louis in 7, it was because I just didn't think the Sharks could survive the series. Clearly the Blues were way more physical than they had been at any other time this year. And certainly they crossed the line at times too. The Petrangelo hit on Pavelski that ended up knocking Pavelski out of the rest of that game and Game 6. And certainly some of the hits that you saw, Meyer got a high hit from Tarasenko. The Blues played a chippy game and it worked to their advantage. Not just because they got away with it, but it wore the Sharks down. All the games that they had played, all the overtime games that they played. Psychologically, it takes a lot out of you to come back from 3-1 down and to win overtime games. And Joe Thornton being older, Pavelski being banged up, Erik Karlsson again, we talked about it yesterday. Second time he's made a run in the playoffs in which by the time he got to the end of it, he was spent physically. It just took a lot out of San Jose and the Blues were just stronger. And give the Blues credit for this too. They overcame the controversy. They overcame the hand pass. And did not trail the rest of the way. They scored early, if you remember, in Game 4 and never looked back, really squashing San Jose over that Game 4, 5, and 6 period to just dominate. So that's what happens when you're a great team. You face the adversity, you overcome it. And that's what the Blues did. But back to the Sharks, we'll see what they look like next year. Karlsson, unrestricted free agent. Pavelski, unrestricted free agent. Joe Thornton, unrestricted free agent. Will he come back to the Sharks? Will he go someplace else? Will he retire? He's going to turn 40 in July. So they've hit a line here of what direction they're going to go into with some of their older players. And they certainly have some young players. Hurdle is still on the young side. And boy, they missed him yesterday, especially on that penalty kill. One of their best penalty killers. And the Blues end up going 2-for-2 on the power play, including that killer Tarasenko goal 7 seconds into the power play to make it 2-0. And really outside of that goal that we saw to make it 2-1, there was really not much San Jose had to offer as far as a comeback. They had their moments, but I thought Binnington got better and better as the playoffs went on. I think I told you I talked to people around the Blues when they were at Madison Square Garden a couple of months ago on how it was more a case of the team carrying Binnington than Binnington carrying the team, even though their turnaround directly coincided with his call-up from the minor leagues. But he got stronger and better and more experienced. And we'll get into the preview with Boston Monday when we talk to EJ and get into an in-depth preview. EJ will be in Boston. That's when Game 1 will start coming up on Memorial Day. And we'll have a podcast, obviously, Tuesday because Memorial Day will be the holiday. But we'll dive into it on Friday. We'll give you an in-depth preview of the Stanley Cup Final coming up on Friday, and we'll try to get some guests and all that. But right now, it's kind of just about recapping the San Jose season and really talking about last night's game and what the Blues were able to accomplish. So San Jose's got to move on, and I think they'll be okay. I think they're run very well. They've been consistently good, really, since they came into the league, if you think about it. So they do have some decisions to make, but I'm sure the powers that be there will make the right decisions. And what is a very competitive Pacific Division now, when you look at Edmonton and the changes that they've made to their front office, and Calgary doesn't look like they're going anyplace anytime soon. And San Jose will have their work cut out for them to try to get back into the playoffs next year. And I have no concern whatsoever that that would be the case. But it's really about the Blues now and what they did last night and moving on to the Stanley Cup Final for the first time since 1970 and really what they became since January 3rd. And I tweeted this out last night because I was doing the pre and post for Westwood, and so I had all my hockey notes with me. So I went back to December 31st, on New Year's Eve. The Rangers were in St. Louis to take on the Blues, and I was doing the pre and post for that, and I looked back at my notes and just seeing where the Blues were. Dead last in the Central Division. Rangers went on to win that game against St. Louis, putting them further back into the division. And by the time we got to the morning of January 3rd, 2019, the St. Louis Blues were the worst team in the National Hockey League. And they had already fired their coach. They called up Binnington. They were desperate. So you've got a rookie goaltender that you're crossing your fingers can get something going here. You've got a coach that's never been a head coach in the NHL before, taking over the team, who it took over in November, and it really never seemed to gain any traction. So there was really no belief, despite the fact that the Blues, it's a pretty good player. I mean, Ryan O'Reilly, who was the number one star last night, three assists, was on the team. Tarasenko, who's a flat-out superstar. Even though he was having an off season, Jaden Schwartz is somebody that's consistently been a 20-goal scorer in this league. You look at their blue line, very solid. But the fact is, your record is what it is, and you're the worst team in the NHL, and you're 45% into the season. It's hard to believe that you're going to actually be competing for a Stanley Cup. And I thought about this, and I've been talking about this a lot on this podcast and also on the Michael Kay Show. Tanking has become that catchphrase in all sports. It's happening in baseball. That's why you have so many lousy teams. I'd rather be bad and get good draft picks than try to compete for some fallacy of a championship, some fallacy of a run to the playoffs, some fallacy of an above 500 season, not seeing value in that and rather see what the Philadelphia 76ers have done. Tank, get a bunch of picks, build yourself up, and then hope with all those players that you can win a championship. Doesn't really happen in football because football, you lay your body on the line every Sunday, and it's just not something that you can convince players to do because there's only a very small window to play in the league. I think the average NFL player plays 3.5 years, so none of them are going to want to sacrifice a season for the greater good. They're going to want to go out there and play the best they can in that given season. But in baseball, basketball, and hockey, there's been the talk of tanking. Be bad, get the pick. And I look at the Blues and I say to myself, you're the worst team in the NHL. Almost half the season is over. You've got a rookie goaltender. That could have been a time where maybe you decide, all right, well, let's not make every decision to try here. You know, let's dump off some of our players. Let's call up some of the minor leaguers and see if there's a chance that we can just, you know, tank, be bad, and maybe get Hughes or Kako in the upcoming draft. But the Blues played it out. They realized they had talent on their team. They were the best team in the National Hockey League from that day on. And here they are on Monday going to be competing for a Stanley Cup. And I think that's cool. And I think you want to try to play it out. Another example of playing it out, the New York Rangers. I mean, I was either calling the game or hosting every Ranger game this season. And since they sent the letter last February, they've went out to try to win every single game that they played. Then they didn't win a lot of them, but they were competitive in most of them, especially this year under David Quinn. And what ends up happening? They end up not having the worst record in the league, ended up being very competitive, kind of hung as long as they could in the playoff race, which didn't last very long because they weren't very good, but they didn't tank. And here they are with the second overall pick. So I think the Blues are an example of play it out because you never know what's going to happen, especially in hockey. I don't think there was anybody. I got some tweets from people last night saying, I always believed. I mean, that's fine. But when you're the worst team in the league on January 3rd, getting to the halfway point of the season, I don't think anybody was believing this team had a run in them. And it's not like they're playing in some bogus division where under 500 can get you into the playoffs. They were playing in the best division in the league with Nashville, with Winnipeg, with Colorado. I mean, this is the best team, best division in the NHL. St. Louis is playing in that division against some of the best teams, even a Chicago team that didn't make the playoffs, but still on any given night can beat you. And not only did they make the playoffs on the last day of the season because they played an afternoon game and won it, they were in first place in the Central Division. Eventually, Nashville and Winnipeg won their games later in the day and took first and second, but the Blues just didn't sneak in. I mean, they almost won the best division in the NHL and turned it around in basically half the season. So play it out. You never know what's going to happen. And confidence is a huge thing, too. When you play to win, it builds confidence not only in your players, but in the system in which you're playing and in your coach. The best description I've heard of Craig Berube, the head coach of the Blues, is he's an honest guy. Darren Pang told me that when he got the job. What do you like about Craig, Darren? He's honest. So what does honest mean? Honest means he assesses his talent. He honestly believes in his players. And so when they have confidence in him, he has confidence in them, they begin to believe, and you can accomplish anything. Because really the difference between the worst team in the league and the best team in the league is still very slim. I mean, Ottawa was the worst team in the National Hockey League, but on any given night, they can go into Tampa and give the Lightning a run for their money. And in a lot of cases, when you look at Ottawa's schedule, some of the teams that they beat. Hey, look at the Rangers. The New York Rangers played five games combined with the Bruins and the Blues, the two teams that will be in the Stanley Cup final. The Rangers were combined 4-1 against them during the course of the year. They beat the Blues both times they played them. Not just on December 31st when the Blues were the worst team in the league. They beat them later on in the season when the Blues had already turned it around. And the Bruins have been consistent all year, and the Rangers beat them 2 out of 3. And the Rangers ended up being a team that didn't even come close to making the playoffs this year. So when you have the ability to win any given day, well, then if you put things together and make the right decisions, then you could put enough of those wins together to possibly make the playoffs. And when the confidence grows and the monster builds, then anything can be accomplished. And the Blues are proving that. Now, they've got a tall order against the Boston Bruins, who I think are a better team. But right now, having watched what the Blues have overcome, having watched their story all year, I mean, is anybody going to tell me they've got no shot against the Boston Bruins? That this train is all of a sudden going to derail? Maybe it will, but I don't think anybody thought that we'd be talking about them going to the Stanley Cup final. Certainly not on January 3rd. I'm not really sure anybody thought about it going into the playoffs either. They beat some good teams to get there. That Winnipeg team, on paper, was better, and they beat them in 6. That Dallas team was spunky, and the Blues found a way to overcome and win that series. And certainly San Jose, yeah, they might have been banged up, but Vegas couldn't finish them. Colorado couldn't finish them. St. Louis did. So good on the St. Louis Blues. Should be fun. It's a rematch of 1970 with Bobby Orr flying through the air. Pretty cool. Great atmosphere. I've been to that city. I've been to that building. That's a very underrated hockey market. I think the numbers, as far as the ratings are concerned, should be very good. Boston's got fans all over the country. I think St. Louis's story is certainly something to gravitate to, for sure. The Layla stuff, with what she's been going through, and she was interviewing players after the game, that's become kind of a thing, kind of a story. So there's a lot of storylines going into the Stanley Cup final. They've got plenty of time to promote it. Good job out of the Blues finishing it off last night, because now they get 5 days off. Now, the Bruins will have 10 days off, but still, you get nice 5 days to be able to rest some tired, banged-up players for sure, so I would think rest would be pretty equal going in to that final. St. Louis has proven they can do some things on the road. They've won some big games on the road this year, so I don't think going to Boston for the first two should be any kind of a problem. And I don't have a dog in the fight, for sure. I think the Boston Bruins are the better team, but the better team doesn't always win, and I'm just rooting for 7 games. I'd love to see a classic series, and I think we've got a chance to do it, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's hear from you at Don LaGreca, hashtag game misconduct. Forever TH says, what's next for Joe Thornton? I think he should sign a 1-year deal back to Boston next season and retire. Thoughts? I'm not sure he has that connection to Boston. He spent way more of his career in San Jose. I'm not sure what the Sharks think as far as what direction they're going to go into. I'm sure Joe Thornton, as great as a Shark as he was, is not the number one free agent on their priority list right now. I don't know what their feelings are about Erik Karlsson. Pavelski is somebody they're going to want to bring back too. Thornton's going to be 40 years old. Maybe he's wrung it out there in San Jose. I don't know. But I look at him as a Shark more than a Bruin. So I'm not really sure Joe is going to feel compelled to go finish his career where it started. If anything, I think he'd want to go back to San Jose. There were times he looked worn down, but there were times he looked like a really good third-line center that can score some big goals. So I think he's got something left in the tank. I think there's a place for him in the National Hockey League next year. You look at guys like Matt Cullen playing at 42, Zdeno Chara playing at 42. I don't see any reason why Joe Thornton can't play at the age of 40. So I'm hoping he signs somewhere next year because I enjoy watching him play. Troy says, at the start of the season, I thought DeBoer had to get the Sharks to the Cup or he's gone from San Jose. Do you think that should be the case given all that transpired over the course of the season? It's a great question. I'm with you. I felt not as strong as he had to go to the Stanley Cup, but I felt like when they were down 3-1 to Vegas, I felt like if they had lost that game 5, DeBoer was probably going to be fired. Like it ran its course there, just like it did in New Jersey, just like it had done in Florida, that he got everything he can get out of that team and now it's time to move on. But you look at the fight in that team, the comeback, the win. Is it his fault that his team was as banged up as it was? Would things have been different if you had a healthy Carlson, Hurdle, Pavelski last night? You know, maybe you win that game. Maybe you go to a game 7. So I'm not sure what's going to happen with Pete DeBoer, but I think he's a heck of a coach. And like I said earlier in the podcast, they've hit a line here of what direction they're going to want to go into. And you have that many important free agents. You know, you're stripping it down and starting over, or are you going to try to get another kick at the can at it? And if you're going to do that, then I think Pete DeBoer is the right guy. If you're going to decide to strip it down, let those free agents walk, try to get younger, you know, build around some of the younger players that you have on that team, then maybe you want to bring in a fresher face. I just feel a lot better about DeBoer returning after this run than I would have if you just kind of just told me they didn't go to the Stanley Cup final. I think reading the room during the course of the playoffs, I think Pete DeBoer did a heck of a job. Nick says, hi, Don. Do you think or do you know if teams discuss beforehand whether they will touch the conference final trophy or is it more spur of the moment, something maybe the captain decides? Great question. Both teams, St. Louis and Boston, decided not to touch it. Matter of fact, they all took the team picture around it, but no one touched it. I don't think they would talk about it beforehand because then that's kind of maybe jinxing it. I mean, if you believe in superstitions that you're not going to touch the conference final trophy, well, then wouldn't you also be suspicious about or superstitious about not wanting to talk about if we win? So it's probably a combination spur of the moment. Maybe it's something that's kind of discussed impromptu on the ice after they win, or maybe it's just taking the lead. Of what the captain wants to do at that particular moment. But it's a great question. But listen, it's about 50-50 anyway. It really doesn't matter, but it kind of makes, kind of is some fun to watch it and see will it be touched or not. Michael says, hi, Don. How do the Blues match up with Boston in your opinion? I think the series will end up 4-1 in favor of Boston. Greetings from Belgium. Well, thank you, Michael. We're going to break it down for you on Friday. I'm going to do the homework on it and really kind of give you a nice in-depth preview. Again, try to get a guest maybe around both of these teams and do kind of a blowout podcast on Friday. Again, we're not going to do anything on Monday because of the holiday, so we'll end up having a post-game one podcast. So a real preview will come up on Friday. So no podcast tomorrow. Get some work on the series, and I'll really be able to go in-depth. But, you know, it really doesn't fail me too often going with – who is the better goaltender? And you've got a deadly combination there with Boston, right? I mean, Tuukka Rask is experienced. He's been in these situations before and he's red hot. I mean, as hot as Binnington has been over the last 3 games, I mean, who's been better right now than Tuukka Rask? So I don't think it's any stretch to say that the advantage in goal, belongs to Boston. And then you start breaking down the talent and you look at the lines, right? I mean, you look at what Pasternak, Bergeron, and Marchand have done this year, and really in years past, as one of the best lines in the National Hockey League, right? That they just seem unstoppable at times. And there's depth there, but when you look at the top line, you say that's one of the best lines in the National Hockey League. And they were great during the course of the playoffs. And Pasternak got off to a real slow start, but then got hot down the stretch. Well, take a look at Shen, Schwartz, and Tarasenko. Now, Schwartz didn't get a point last night, but is a guy that scored, 11 goals in the regular season, and he had scored 12 in the postseason, all right? He had been red hot, single-handedly beat the Winnipeg Jets, right, in the first round of the playoffs. Shen had a huge insurance goal last night. Tarasenko's beginning to warm up. You look at that top line, And that might match up with Boston's top line. And then the second line, St. Louis, Ryan O'Reilly, 3 points last night. Blais thought he had the first goal of the game, but they ended up giving it to Perron, who ended up is also on that line. That's an outstanding second line. And then Bozak, who had a huge goal. Maroon has scored huge goals for the Blues. And then Thomas, who's at 19 years old, has contributed. And then maybe the best fourth line in the NHL, especially in the playoffs, of Sundquist, Barbashev, and Steen. There's nothing to sneeze at with those forwards. It's really good. But you look at Boston, too. Their second line, Krejci, Backes, DeBrusk, I mean, Coyle, Johansson. That's consisting of your third line there. Heinen's the right wing. And they got a lot of production out of their fourth line. Corrali scored big goals. Nordstrom was big at times. Wagner, we'll see about his injury. So you look at the far, very equal. The Blues are probably a little deeper on the blue line. I love Chara and McAvoy. I love Carlo and Krug. So their top four pairings are really outstanding. But then you take a look at what St. Louis has on their blue line. I don't know if it's as good, but Evanson and Petrangelo, Parayko and Bouwmeester, Dunn, if he's healthy, and Gunnarsson. That's an outstanding defense, too, and you have the depth there because you've got Bortuzzo that can play as well, so they can go seven deep on defense. So I probably give a little bit of an edge to Boston. So goaltending I give to Boston, defense I give to Boston, but the offense, it's close. I might actually give the edge to St. Louis. So you look at the home ice, all these are a factor too. I'll go a little bit more in depth on Friday, but to kind of impromptu answer your question, it seems like it should be a very fun series, and I hope it goes more than five games as you predicted. Jake says, hey Don, seems fitting that the two best teams since January made the finals this year. I guess it's not how you start, but how you finish the season. True. But you get off to a bad start and your finish might not be enough to be able to get into the playoffs. But you tread water. I think you make the right decisions at the deadline. And I think it's kind of foolhardy. We do it on this podcast too, making predictions during the offseason. It's amazing how often rosters change from October to by the time you get to the playoffs and to the Stanley Cup final, right? Because you make so many changes. You know, Binnington was not part of the assessment of the St. Louis Blues going into the season, and now he's a major reason why they're in the Stanley Cup final, right? You look at Coyle and how big he's been for Boston, a deadline move for Boston at the deadline. So it's kind of foolhardy, right, to look at the start of the season, look at the rosters when they can change so dramatically. So the start of the season, you got to keep yourself above water, but who do you call up? What trades do you make at the deadline that will ultimately determine how you play in the second half and play in the playoffs? Chris says, hi, Don. Regarding your comment yesterday about Carlson, I like the idea of a healthy Carlson paired with Provorov, but his health history and age concern me. If the Flyers don't add a top four D-man via trade prior July 1st, they may have to pursue Carlson. Again, if you missed the podcast yesterday, I mentioned that it's just kind of – it would make me nervous a little bit if I was a pursuer of Carlson that the two times that he's been involved in a run to the conference final with Ottawa in 2017 and this year with the Sharks, he was dead by the time they got to elimination. He just gets hurt. I mean, he gives his all the time, but just you're obviously acquiring a talent like Carlson because you believe you can win a championship, but you got to know that he's going to be able to play once you get to that championship. Donnell says, hey, Don, love your show. So now that the Stanley Cup final is set between the Blues and the Bruins, who is your pick to win the Stanley Cup and who is your Conn Smythe winner? Here's the way I look at it right now. If the Bruins win, I think it's going to be Tuukka Rask in a landslide. If the Blues win, then you have a little bit of a different discussion because you can go Binnington, you can go Jaden Schwartz, especially if he has a big final because he's been huge for them. But if I had to answer your question right now, I think the winner of this series, goaltender, is going to win the Conn Smythe. So if St. Louis wins, you give it to Jordan Binnington. And if it ends up being the Boston Bruins, I think clearly it would end up being Tuukka Rask. All right, this is going to be a lot of fun. Again, here's the lay of the land for you. give in-depth preview on Friday for the Stanley Cup Final, because we got the holiday on Monday, so everybody's going to be off. So I'll give you a nice in-depth preview on Friday, take you through the weekend. Then I'll be back on Tuesday. We'll hopefully touch base with EJ. That'll be an off day in the Stanley Cup Final. Game one will have already been played. So we'll talk to EJ live from Boston on Tuesday. That's probably the better way to lay things out. So in-depth preview on Friday. But you can get in touch with me. You got comments, questions, anything you want to talk about, you can do that 24/7 at Don LaGreca, hashtag Game Misconduct. So congratulations to the St. Louis Blues. Stanley Cup Final is going to be here on Monday. Blues and the Bruins from Boston. And also taking a look at the schedule. Good job by the National Hockey League as far as the schedule is concerned, because they've got the off days right. Right? You're going to play Monday, Wednesday in Boston. Okay, then the Saturday, the traditional Wednesday-Saturday that they do in the finals, but usually you do see game one on a Wednesday, game two on a Saturday. They were able to start the series on Monday, so you just get the one day off between the home games for Boston, and then you get the extra days for travel for Saturday, Monday, okay? Then you get an extra day of travel back to Boston, because you're going to have game four and five separated by off days on Tuesday and Wednesday, so Thursday would be the game five back in Boston, and then another couple of days off, Friday and Saturday, before the Sunday game in St. Louis, and then they give you an extra day off again before game seven, which will be played on Wednesday, June 12th. So all the travel days will have an extra day off, should keep the players relatively fresh. It's not an obnoxious amount of time off. It's the right amount of time off. No extra days off without travel. All the extra days will be on travel days, which I think makes sense. Not that Boston and St. Louis are that far, but still, if you're going to have an extra day off, do it when there's going to be travel, not when you're already in the same city. And again, the television schedule will go NBC for game one, NBC Sportsnet for games two and three, and then NBC the rest of the way. So we'll be back with you again on Friday with an in-depth preview. So off day tomorrow, back with you on Friday for our next podcast. This was the Wednesday edition of Game Misconduct.
Thanks for listening to the Game Misconduct podcast. Looking for more Don LaGreca? Hear him on the Michael K. Show weekdays from 3 to 7 p.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York. And worldwide on the ESPN app. And don't forget to subscribe to the Game Misconduct podcast on the ESPN app, Google Play Music, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.